Good morning, everybody. It is me, and I am preaching, even though I haven't got my suit on. Oh, thank you. Right, our reading this morning is from 2 Samuel, chapter 5, and I'm reading the first five verses. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.' When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a compact with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned over Israel and Judah for 33 years. I think that my all-time hero of the Bible, with the obvious exception of Jesus Christ, is David. A simple shepherd boy, the seventh son of a farmer, and from the backwoods of Israel. But this young boy was chosen by God for a mighty and awe-inspiring life. He died at the age of 70, having seen God move in amazing ways in his life. Up to the age of 30, his life had not been an easy one, and he lived in violent and lawless days, and he too was guilty of some pretty unsavory deeds. However, throughout all of his life and his triumphs, and all of his undoubted mistakes and failures, he had one quality that singled him out to God. He was a man after God's own heart. Oh yes, he did get it wrong sometimes. He did commit some very bloodthirsty deeds. But in and through it all, he was seeking to serve God. His heart was right, and God can work with the heart that's right towards him. And that should give every one of us great encouragement. Because every one of us gets it wrong sometimes. Every one of us makes a wrong decision, says the wrong thing, has a wrong attitude. But as long as our heart is for God, as long as we do it with the right intention, God will forgive us and help us on our way. We are told in Psalm 103, verse 14, "He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." In our text this morning, we find David at one of the high points of his life. He's 37 years old, and he's lived for over half of his lifetime, though of course he doesn't know that yet. Now all the leaders of all the tribes of Israel have come to David and have appointed him king over the whole of Israel. And that was a particularly important time for David. After the death of King Saul, David was appointed as king over 2 tribes of Judah. However, the 10 tribes of Israel refused to acknowledge David as their king, and they tried for 7.5 years to have a king from the family of Saul. The result of their strivings was even more bloodshed and a time of great unrest in Israel. Finally, they bowed to the inevitable and asked David to be their king. Only now, David has achieved what God had promised him all those years ago when Samuel anointed him as king. Now he was, at last, the king over all Israel and Judah. But it had not been an easy life. He was only a boy, probably just 9 or 10 years old, when Samuel anointed him king. And at that time, Saul was still on the throne, and there seemed to be no possibility that this young kid from the back of beyond could ever succeed him. But David had an unshakable faith in his God, and he firmly believed that God could and would do whatever he promised. His faith in God was grounded in his experience of God when he was in the wilds of the hill country looking after his father's sheep. In 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 to 37, we read his own testimony. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. For something like 20 years, this young man only had the promise of God to uphold him when going got tough. And the going did get tough. His older brothers, even his father, made fun of him and constantly looked down on him. As the youngest in the family, he was fair game. But I think he probably gave as much as he got. Being the youngest makes you fight or suffer, makes you either become strong or become a wimp. David fought his corner and emerged as a strong leader of men. But we find no indication that David ever traded upon his special anointing. He knew, and his family knew, what God had done for David through Samuel, but we don't hear of him lording it over his family. Unlike his ancestor Joseph, David kept his counsel and waited for God to bring about his plans. Over the next 20 years, David must have wondered just what God was doing. David had been anointed king over Israel, but Saul was still on the throne. Saul knew that David was to succeed him, and he became paranoid. He kept David near to him, and yet he continually tried to kill him. He set him impossible tasks in the hope he'd be killed. In his paranoia, he would sometimes throw his spear at him. He conspired against David and eventually expelled him from the court and made him an outcast in all Israel. Saul constantly pursued David with the express purpose of killing him. And in all this, David remained faithful to God's promise. He knew that he would become king one day, but it would be at God's time, by God's actions, and David didn't attempt to help things along. In fact, despite his followers constantly urging him to deal with Saul, David refused. Even when he twice had the opportunity to kill Saul, David held back. His constant refrain was, "I will not touch the Lord's anointed." He considered that God had appointed Saul as king, and God would remove him when the time was right. David had a very trying time as he waited for God to fulfill his promises. But in it all, he waited for God. Even when God does begin to fulfill his promises, it isn't how David would have expected. When God finally removed Saul, he was killed in battle. David only saw God's promise partially fulfilled. David only became king over two of the 12 tribes, and he had to wait for another 7.5 years for the final completion. But even in this time of waiting, David still honoured God and God's anointed. When a man from the Amalekites came and told David he had seen Saul mortally wounded on the battlefield and he'd mercifully put him out of his suffering, David was distraught. He had the Amalekite killed for daring to kill the Lord's anointed, and he went into a period of deep and intense mourning for the late king. He could have rejoiced that his mortal enemy was finally dead and richly rewarded the one who killed him. But instead, he gave Saul and God the honour they deserved, and he composed a deeply moving song of lament for his king and for Jonathan, the son of the king. But now, at last, and in God's time, David was king over all Israel. From the Bible accounts of the lives of great men and women of faith, we can learn such a lot about how God works and achieves his purposes. Many times we see how God singles out individuals and even nations and makes promises. We also see that he very rarely fulfills those promises in the way that's expected. We see that the fulfillment of those promises often comes after a period of preparation and even of trials and hardship. Sometimes the person promised doesn't live to see the promise come about, and they are fulfilled in succeeding generations. But the promises of God are always, always fulfilled. As the prophet Habakkuk says, For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it will certainly come and will not delay. Amen. Here in this church, we know from practical experience that this is true. Yeah. Over 50 years ago, a group of Christians in this area had a vision from God. As a result, they formed a church. At first, the church met in hired rooms, but as their numbers grew and their vision grew, they decided the church needed its own building. They set to raising the money, and finding that there was no suitable building to buy, they searched for a site to erect their own church building, and the result was the building in Beaver Street. Now, I don't know the trials and frustrations that they endured in making their own building, but if our experience in acquiring this building is any guide, it wasn't at all easy. But they persevered, and we, this present generation, are here because of those faithful following of God's vision to them. Because many of them have now died, they can't share with us the details of that first vision. But we know that they were faithful to it in their lifetime. And that reminds us of a verse in the book of Hebrews. After giving a whole list of heroes of faith in the Old Testament, the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 11, verses 39 and 40, "These were all commended for their faith, yet not one of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so only together with us would they be made perfect." We, the succeeding generation of those first pioneers, are reaping some of what they sowed, and we're seeing their vision moving on a little further. But we, this generation, have also had our visions from God. Over 20 years ago, we were told that the church in Beaver Street was not big enough, and that message came to us from God at various times in following years. Even when we built an extension onto the Beaver Street church, the message still came. Then we've often been told by God that he would bring people into our church from the north, the south, the east and the west. He also told us that he would restore backsliders. Some 20 or so years ago, Mark Bergin got the vision that we would someday buy this very building that we are now in. God also told us that he would do amazing things in our lifetime, that if he told us, we would not believe it. Again, some years ago, God reminded us of the dam busters in the Second World War. As their bombs broke the German dam, the whole valley below was flooded by water that was released. God told us this is what would happen when his Holy Spirit was released in the Dern Valley. The whole valley will be flooded by his Spirit. As a reinforcement of that, when there were severe floods in the Dern Valley in 2007, we were again reminded that as no one could stop the flood water going where it would, so no one will be able to stop God's Spirit when he moves. We have other promises that we've not seen all of them come to pass yet, but some have been fulfilled. We're here in a bigger building. This building is big enough for the present. We've seen God do some amazing things that could never have been considered possible. The fact that this building came up for sale at just the right time when funding was available was an incredible coincidence, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. It was a miracle from God. The actual buying of this building was also a miracle, as God guides us through the whole process. The provision of those with the time and the abilities to guide us through all the legal and other paperwork that the process entailed was indeed a miracle. The provision of the manpower and the abilities to do the refurbishment, the provision of the tradesmen needed for the professional work required, the finances needed were all these miracles. The protection of all those workers here and of the building is also a miracle. We are seeing some of the things that God has promised actually happening, and we rejoice and give glory to God. But we have a bit like David when he became king over the two tribes. We've seen some of the vision come about, and we know that God has promised much more. We need to see this building filled every week with people worshipping God. We need to see the backsliders restored. We need to see people coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We need to see people attracted to this place and seeing them saved and born again of the Spirit of God. We need to see the outreaches growing and bringing people to experience the love, fellowship, and power of God. We need to see more outreaches as we extend our community involvement. We need the personnel with skills and heart and time to serve in those outreaches.
Yes, okay.
We need to see the time when this building is not big enough. We need to see the time when God's Holy Spirit floods this town, this area, this Dearne Valley, until, as Julie Ando sang, the hills are alive with the sound of music. Well, when the hills will be alive with the sound of God's praise.
Yes.
Like David, we have to wait for the fulfillment of the vision and the promises of God. Like David, we have the partial fulfillment. But I firmly believe, also like David, that we will see the total fulfillment of all that God has promised. David saw the time when those around him came and asked him to be their king. I believe that we will see loads of people come to us and ask us to show them how Jesus can become their king. God has promised much, and I believe there is much more for us, more than we could ever imagine or conceive. We're on a journey. This place here, this wonderful and great place that God has given us, is just the start. We ain't seen nothing yet. Remember what God told the prophet Habakkuk. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it, for it will certainly come and it will not delay. Amen.